This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are in a series entitled Key Ingredients. Key ingredients. And so I want to do a review with you, but like a good teacher, I have a cheat sheet for you, all right? And so because, you know, this is the sixth week that we're in this, Pastor, how long are we going to be in this series? Well, I've got a couple more ingredients that I know that are going to be good for you, so at least for a few more weeks. And so in the back, let's go ahead and put up the first one, so that way when I ask them, they'll know what it is, all right? Okay, class, what is key ingredient number one? Oh, y'all did good. Y'all remembered. All right, class, what is number two? All right, what is number three? All right, what is number four? And what is number five? Yes, that's it. Generosity or having a giving heart. All right, so I want to jump right into our lesson today. And just like kind of last week, I talked about debt-free 2023 and it went with generosity. I'm going to do it another week on it before I move to a different ingredient. Only because, you know, contrary to popular belief or what people say, I typically teach on giving once a year, maybe twice. So last time I taught on giving was in January or February. And so the year's almost out. Although I'm not going to teach a series on giving or anything like that. Last week we talked about generosity, so we're going to continue in that lesson today, and then next week we'll move to our next ingredient. And our next ingredient, I believe, is something that's going to really help you in your spiritual walk. Can't wait till next Sunday, amen? All right, so we're going to talk about generosity or having a giving heart. If I was to subtitle this, I would talk to you from the subject of passing the money test. Passing the money test. I don't know if you know or not, but every time you get paid or increased, because when I tithe off of everything. No matter if I get paid, if somebody sends me a Cash App blessing, if it's my birthday, you know, any increase, the Bible actually says increase. It doesn't say paid, but paid is increased. Praise the Lord. But every time you get paid or every time you get increased, you take a test. All right, let me see by show of hands, how many in the room get paid once a week? Wave at me if you get paid. Okay, some of y'all get paid once a week. How many about once a month? How many of my once a month? Okay, quite a few of y'all. How many get either twice a month or bi-weekly? A lot of y'all. How many never get paid? No, I'm just playing. It's just a joke. Just a joke. All right? So you take a test every time you get increased, and the test is, who are you going to thank for your increase? Who are you going to thank? Are you going to thank God for your increase? You know, are you going to thank Amazon for your increase? Amazon Prime for your increase? Like, who are you going to thank? And so I have you know me, for the most part, I'm a three-point preacher, and I'm proud of it, right? And so I've got 3 points that I think will help you pass the money test. So we're going to jump right into it. Everybody say number one. Number one, my first point is put God first. Put God first. So watch this. Even though I'm talking about generosity, even though I'm talking about having a giving heart, I want you to understand that this is a principle that goes far beyond money. You got it? I put God first in every area of my life. You got it? Me and Lady, in our marriage, God is at the center. He's first. With our children, how we raised our children, God, matter of fact, today, I think I already told you, today was Jay's 20th birthday. He's not a teenager anymore. Praise the Lord. My boy is growing up. And so, but everything we do, we put God first. And one thing that you're going to learn in Scripture is that the first actually belongs to God. Like, it belongs to God. And it's fair. The reason it's fair is because when God, you know, when we give tithe, tithe means tenth. So the tithe, watch this, is the same percentage whether you made $40, $400, $4,000, or $400,000. Somebody ought to snatch by faith that $400,000. You understand what I'm saying? And so Malachi, the third chapter and the sixth verse, let's jump into it. We're going to learn some stuff. We're going to have some fun at the same time. Are you ready to do this? Yes. Here we go. He says, for I am the Lord. What's those next four words, class? What does it say? Very good. I do not change. So he says, I'm the Lord and I change not. He says, therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. All right. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances. Remember that word ordinance, because it'll be very important later. He says, and you have not kept them. And so anytime God comes to us, even when we mess up, he still gives us a way to get it right with him. And that's what I love about God. He says, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Then he asked a question. Will a man rob God? Anytime God asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know. It's because he's about to teach you something. He says, yet ye have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? He says, in tithes and offerings. He says, you are cursed with the curse. You notice God doesn't say, I'm going to curse you. Because God doesn't curse us, you got it? But God says, you put yourself in that position when you don't. Because see, we live, most people don't understand that because they're like, well, God is good and he is good. But we live in a fallen or cursed world. You got it? But watch this. But when we, watch this, come into the kingdom of God and do things God's way and give him the first, he redeems us. So even though we're in a fallen world or in a cursed world, when we get over in the kingdom of God, you got it, we're redeemed. Does that make sense? All right. He says, but you are cursed with the curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Then he says, bring some of the tithe into, that's right, shoot me down when I'm not talking right. That's not what he says, right? So if you make $1,000, right, the tithe is not $25. Isn't that right? All right. He says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, local church, that there may be food in my house. That's the local church. And try me now, this says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour you out such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. Anytime God, watch this, has it made up in his mind that he wants to tell you to do something like give, he has blessing you in mind. All right. And then he doesn't say, so he says that. Then he says, and you got it. Kind of like how you see those infomercials. And if you do it in the next 60 seconds, I'm going right. But this ain't no game. And God says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And then here he goes again. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts, the God who does not change. So he says, you have gone away from my ordinances. Tithing was an ordinance. It was before the law. It was during the law. It was after the law. An ordinance is a principle of ordinary behavior. It was ordinary behavior for the people of God to thank God for their income and their increase. Giving the first, or the first portion, you might see, was ordinary behavior to show thanks. Now, at the end of the day, it's all about the heart. When you talk about giving, giving is simply a matter of the heart. The Bible says in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. All right. Now let me help you. There is a group of people out there who focus on the fact that we shouldn't give tithe because it was under the law, but we should give, and we should give God maybe even more than the tithe. Some groups say you should give 13% and you should give 16%, and all those kind of things. And I will say this, I believe those people really mean well because they believe in giving, you got it, but they're scripturally incorrect. All right. Tithing was before the law. It was during the law and it was after the law. And so, yes, I fully agree that it should be a matter of the heart, but we can't change God's word. You got it. And we can't change scripture. All right. And so, Pastor, but they're saying give more. It doesn't matter. You have to do it God's way. You got it. Abraham tithed 500 years before the law. All right. Jacob tithed 400 years before the law. Joseph tithed 450 years before the law. I found this scripture. Man, I've been preaching a long time. I'd never seen this scripture like I saw it. When I saw it, I was so excited. Lady walks in. I'm at my desk. I'm like, babe, guess what? And I'm like, do you know what 1/5 is? Look up what 1/5 is on your account, on your Google. You got it? She's like, 1/5 is 20%. I said, do you know that? Well, I need to tell you the story. And so there was a guy named Pharaoh. I don't know if you heard Pharaoh, let my people go. I don't know if y'all know him or not. All right, you were supposed to laugh. Y'all know that was funny. All right. So he has a dream, and he dreams that there were seven fat calves and there were seven skinny calves. And bottom line, Joseph comes in, you know, and he interprets this dream. All right. As he interprets the dream, he explains to him that there's going to be 7 good years of plenty, but then there's going to be 7 years of famine. And God, through Joseph, gives Joseph the wisdom to show him that if you will save 20% in the years that are good and the years that are plenty, it'll be enough to make it through the bad years, right? And so now there's this decree, there's this law that everybody has to bring like this 20%. But I thought this was something very interesting in Genesis, the 47th chapter and the 26th verse. So even though everything had to be brought to Pharaoh, watch this, my whole paycheck is my paycheck. Come on, somebody. I could really do what I want with my paycheck. I could take my whole paycheck and do what I want, but just because I do what I want doesn't mean I'm doing the right thing, right? Because out of that paycheck, the tithe belongs to God, right? Well, everything was supposed to go to Pharaoh, right? Joseph said, yeah, everything but the tithe. Watch this. Man, I love this. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt to this day that Pharaoh should have 1/5, 20%, except, watch this, for the land of the priest only, which did not become Pharaoh's. He was saying that the land could not be given to Pharaoh because the land was God's land. It was the tithe, and the tithe belonged to God. So Pharaoh, yep, you in charge. You can have everything, but you can't have this right here because it's set aside, it's holy, it's consecrated, and watch it. And Joseph knew if I make sure he don't get the tithe, the rest will be blessed. Does that make sense? And so the first belongs to God. Repeat after me. Say the first belongs to God. So giving the tithe or the first portion was all through Scripture. Matter of fact, it was 2,500 years before the law and started with Cain and Abel. Remember, Abel gave the first. Cain just gave an offering. God didn't accept, you know, Cain's. He got mad, killed his brother, all over some money. You got it, all over some money, all right? And so why did God not accept Cain's offering? Because he was supposed to bring the first, because the first belongs to God. So if I make $1,000, I can't say, well, I'm just going to give God a $25 offering. I did not give the first, and the first belongs to God. What's tithe on $1,000? $100. All right. So I could keep pushing it, y'all, because it's all through Scripture. It's not just under the law. I've given you so many, you know, when the Israelites went into the promised land, God says, give me all the silver and all the gold from Jericho. Why? Jericho was the first city. You got it? The first belongs to God. Everybody say the first belongs to God. He actually told them, if you give it to me, it will be consecrated. If you don't, it will be cursed. All right. Jesus himself says we should tithe. Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of all those things and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, which are justice and mercy and faith. Jesus says, these you ought to have done, the tithe, without leaving the others undone. Justice, mercy, and faith. There are people who like to fuss with this scripture and say, no, that's not what it is. He said tithe wasn't the first part. He said that was the justice, mercy, and faith. Well, let's just say it was. It wasn't, but let's just say it was. These you ought to have done, justice, mercy, and faith, without the leaving the others undone, tithe. So either way, Jesus says it's the same thing, that you should do this. You got it? The first belongs to God. There's testimonies that I've heard over and over again from tithers and then from people who don't tithe. Tithers say, man, I'm blessed. Anybody who tithes would just tell you, man, God is good. Like, I'm blessed. He always opens a door. He always makes a way. You got it? Testimony from people who don't tithe, and good people. You got it? Good people. Not knocking anybody. Some say, Pastor, I just can't afford to tithe. And see, I have to be honest. You will never, ever be able to afford to tithe until you tithe. Watch this, because tithing breaks the curse. Does that make sense? You got it? It might sound a little hard, and I'm not trying to be hard, but if we really believe the Bible and really believe in spiritual things, then we have to understand that that's how it works. All right? So point number one, it was put God first. All right. Everybody say point number two. All right, point number two, there it is on the screen, learn to wait. Learn to wait. Everything minus miracles, and we believe in miracles, and we believe in the supernatural. Matter of fact, we believe as we work on the 277,000, God's going to breathe on that and take care of the million, right? Like, that's how we believe. So we believe in miracles, but we also understand process. You got it. Things don't happen overnight, but they happen over time. We understand planning. You got it. And so, you know, that the years ago, they had those Burger King commercials, your way, right away. It's like the whole Burger King mentality, and we like that. We want, most of us, you got it, including Pastor, we like things quick, fast, and in a hurry. Like, if we got a plan, you know, we want it to happen right now. Like, you know, but we have to understand process, and we have to understand patience, all right? Proverbs, the 28th chapter and the 20th verse says, a faithful man, and let me just help you. When you see that in scripture, that is not gender specific, all right? It's man or woman, as the case may be. When you see, it says, behold, we are the sons of God. That is not, oh, he's just talking about men and not talking about women. No, because that's why you see that in the KJV. But when you see, I think it's the NIV, it says we are the children of God, because it makes you understand it is not gender specific. God's not, you know, more toward the man than he is the woman, if that makes any sense. So when you see a faithful man, sometimes you hear me say, or woman, as the case may be, you got it, will abound with blessings. So it's the faithful person that abounds with blessings. But he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. And it's just teaching us we got to do things the right way. Like how many know you can't cheat people? You got it, because it ain't going to work out. How many know you can't cheat your taxes because it ain't going to work out? You understand what I'm saying? No, just do it God's way. Go through the process, and the process that is that little by little, you should get better. You should do better this year than you did last year. You should do better next year than you did this year. Everything's a process. Work God's plan and see God's plan come to work in your life. All right, I'm going to give you seven reasons. Matter of fact, before, I need to preface this, because some of you all might think this word I'm about to say is a bad word, and it's not a bad word, and I'm a sanctified Holy Ghost kid, grew up in church, all right? And so I want to make, so some of y'all are like, oh my God, what is the word he's about to say, all right? No, and I just want to make sure you know, because, you know, I know how you feel, because it's crazy out there. Now, you listen to people, even preachers, like, did he just say that? You got, but the bad word I'm about to say is the word, get ready, budget. A lot of people think that's a bad word, but it's not a bad word. It's actually a really, really good word, all right? And you got to understand, this whole budget thing is not designed to, you know, a budget is designed for you to have control to tell your money where it's going to go. Because if you don't tell it where it's going to go, then it's just going to go wherever you feel. You got it. We was walking through the mall. Man, I like those kicks, them nice kicks, $200. There goes $200. Oh, we ought to just go out to eat. We feeling good. It's about 80 degrees outside today. You go to Longhorn, $119. We ain't gave God nothing yet. Praise the Lord. You got it. We ain't paid no bills yet, but we's happy. Yeah, but happy and broke don't go together. Right? So a budget is not to restrict you, but to free you. I remember when I was in the Marine Corps, you know, years ago, I went in 1995, and, you know, especially we get paid on the weekend, get paid on the Friday. It seemed like I was the only one that still had money on Monday, you know, hey, Mac, loan me $20. I'm like, man, we just got paid on Friday. You need you a budget. You got it? Well, you want $20? Well, that 18% APR. No, I'm just playing. I did not ever do that. I know some Marines that did, but I never did that. All right, seven reasons to have a budget. All right, everybody say number one. Helps us see things more clearly and objectively. When you put everything down on paper, you're like, oh, I didn't realize we had that, or had this, or didn't have but this much. Or why do we have, you know, why is DirecTV $289 a month? Why do we have Cinemax and Showtime and the movies and Stars? And like, and one call could make $289 go to $159. Does that make sense? Yeah. One trip to Target to buy an $89 Keurig can take a $300 Starbucks a month bill, you got it, down to nothing because I went and got me a Keurig from, see, I don't hear nobody happy in the house. You got it, because I don't like nobody talking to me about my money. I'm funny about my money. We all are. And I'm your pastor. I'm your friend. I'm just trying to help you. You got it? So you can figure that when I write everything down, I see it more clearly so I can have more money than I have month. All right, number two, makes us examine and clarify our values and our priorities. I believe that you should give to God, you should pay your creditors, you should put some money away, and you should enjoy the rest. I believe that because that's what I see in Scripture, all right? And so it helps us to clarify our values and our priorities, all right? Number three, provides a basis of discussion and agreement. Lady LaCante and I, long before we started this church, you got it, when we were 30 when we started, I think we've been in business since our early 20s. When we were 25, I think we made our first million. So we've always been blessed. When we came here and started this church, we were the ones that funded this church. All kind of people think that people sent money. Nobody sent no money. And I ain't mad about it, but I'm just saying it was just me and Lady. I remember the first month we gave $37,000 of our own personal money, and we sowed it into the ministry. Our attorney says, no. Pastor, you need to loan it to the church, and when the church does good, they need to pay you back. And I remember saying, no, this is our seed that will secure our future. Because we're givers, God will always take care of us. Does that make sense? And so we've always been blessed. Watch this. But just because we're super blessed doesn't mean we waste money. So if there's something big that I want or something big that I want to do, you know what I do? I go talk to Lady about it. You got it? Oh, man. So you mean, Pastor, you a man, ain't you? Yeah, I'm a man. You got it? And I go talk to my wife. You got it? I get her agreement on it. Praise ye the Lord. All right. No, listen. Agreement, watch this, is necessary, and agreement is the keeper of peace, all right? And it is important that I don't go out and just say, well, I'm the man of the house because the Bible says I'm the man of the house. And so you do what I say because I'm the man. That ain't what the Bible meant. When the Bible says I'm the man of the house, it means that spiritually I'm supposed to lead the way. So watch this. So I'm the one, you know, that when we sit down at the table, not all of them will, but I say, well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this food that we're about to receive. When one of the kids come and they're upset about something, they're, you know, crying or whatever, I start giving them the wisdom that I need. So, okay, well, let's go to God and let's pray about this thing. You got it? Like, you know, I'm supposed to lead the way spiritually. It's not, but I'm the man. You do what I say. I tell Lady to jump and she asked me how high. No, that don't work in my house. Probably don't work at yours neither. Right? Yeah, boy, I could only imagine me trying to show up one day at the house and try to talk to Lady like that. That would not go good. And Lady is sweet, y'all. If you ever know Lady, I mean, like, when she pats you on the back, it's kind of hard. But other than that, she real sweet. She's a sweet lady. Like I always tell anybody, especially when, you know, I tell people, Lady, and I don't taste this the wrong way because maybe you say, well, Pastor, you ain't saying it the right way. But I've just always, Lady don't give me no problems. Zero. She's a wonderful wife. You got a wonderful mother, wonderful first lady. She prays for us. She always makes sure. Her whole thing is, I want to make sure that you and the kids are good. I want to make sure that you're happy. And so even though I do my thing, she's praying for us. She's doing her thing. You got it? She makes me her priority. You got it? But I also make her my priority. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so, you know, that probably wouldn't go good. We flipped the script after almost, this December be 24 years we've been together. You understand? We've been married. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's been going good. I don't think I need to change anything. Yeah. Walking out, babe, get over here. You know what I'm going to hear next? Woo, woo, woo. That's the ambulance coming to pick me up off the floor. All right. Everybody say number four. provides a basis for accountability. Accountability, which just goes really with what I said. That's why I would go talk to her. She talks to me. We get in agreement. When if there's something that she really wants, she comes talk to me. She's like, hey, babe, one day. Don't have to be right now. And she says that because she know brother man. If I know she wants something, I'm going to make it happen. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I goes to work, all right? And so it provides this accountability, and it provides this agreement for us both, all right? Number five, it helps us to live within our means. Because when you have a budget, you say, okay, well, I make this much, and then, you know, we give God this. This is what our bills are. And you get to the end, and now you say, okay, so this is what we have left. So now, okay, we live within that. But if you don't have a budget and you just go on a whim, you know, I'm just going to spend however, then a lot of times you're going to have more month than you had money, and it's not God's fault. Does that make sense? Because most of the time we have enough money, we just don't steward it properly. Let me tell you a key. I promise you, it's something supernatural that happens. If you start stewarding your money the right way, I promise you, God breathes on it. Like, I'm not trying to be funny. He breathes on it. He calls it to increase. Watch this. With this church, I'm not lying to you. Sometimes people think we just got millions in the bank because we do some of everything. You got it? And we give to some of everybody. And though you have no idea the weeks that we say, Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name. You understand? Why? But every time we want to do anything, you got it? God always breathes on it. You got it? And so why? Because we got God at the top. You got it. We're stewarding properly. You got it. We're impacting people's lives. We have true integrity in this ministry. And man, God breathes on. I didn't come to this church to get something because I had everything I needed. I came to teach you the word of faith so you could live a better life. Does that make sense? And that's why it's working. You know, because don't take this the wrong way, but in the natural, Brother Man would have been better not coming. But when it comes to the will of God, this is where God placed Lady and I, and this is our assignment, and we love doing it. Does that make sense? Wouldn't change it for the world. All right, number six, helps us live. Oh, man, where did the time go? Helps us live without debt or without much debt, all right? And listen, y'all, there's good debt and bad debt. You know, you want to own a house, that's good debt. Don't let anybody tell you that's bad debt, all right? So you have furniture and you just want some new furniture and you're going to go spend $15,000 at 27%, that's bad debt because you already have some. So what you do is you come up with a plan, you got it, of how you're going to start saving and working toward, you know, getting, you know, the new furniture, all right? And I'm telling you, God will help you, all right? Number seven, it builds character and discipline in our lives. It builds character and discipline in our lives. Everybody say Mr. Budget. So you just blame everything on Mr. Budget, right? Ladies, if the husband comes and, you know, I don't know, let's say he wants a boat. Say, babe, I would love for you to have a boat. But Mr. Budget says that it's not time to have a boat. You know, that way you won't be fighting about it. If he's mad at anybody, he's mad at Mr. Budget. This is a true story. This is a true story. There's a family that were doing that. They used Mr. Budget, and they used to take their little girl to McDonald's 3, 4, 5 times a week, just whenever, you know. And so they said, we're only going to go to McDonald's once a week. And they were trying to teach her budgeting. Now, mind you, she's only 3 years old. You got it? And so she's driving down the road, and she's like, I know that we've already been to McDonald's this week, but can we please go again? And her mom says, baby, I would love to take you to McDonald's, but Mr. Budget says that we can't go to McDonald's. And then it got real quiet. It's about 30 seconds later from the backseat, they heard, I hate Mr. Budget. All right, so let's review in the back. Let's put up point number one. Point number one is what class? Put God first. All right, let's put up point number two. Point number two is what class?
Learn to wait.
All right, and we going home on this one. Point number three, live below your means. Live below your means. Please, please don't try to impress anybody. Live below your... If it's something Pastor got, it's because I like it. Because I ain't trying to prove nothing to nobody because ain't nobody paying our bills. Isn't that right? So if you drive, if you have a nice car, and I hope you do, because God don't care about you having nice stuff now, but have what you want because you want it. Let's say you have a car and you just paid it off. It's 4 or 5 years old, you know, and you're like, man, I think I'm just going to drive this. I like this no car payment thing. Wouldn't it drive the car? And if you go to the family reunion and somebody got a new car and they say, well, you about time for you to upgrade. Don't you listen to nobody else. You got it. You know, don't try to hang with the Joneses because what you don't know is, yeah, that they got a Toyota, but that Toyota was 27% interest. You got it. So don't try to, you know, don't do that. You got it. Learn to march to the beat of your own drum. You got it? Don't be trying to be in competition with anybody. Just be better than you were yesterday. You know, and learn to do it God's way. The Bible talks to us about being hearers of the word and not doers. I mean, we should be doers of the word and not hearers only. Mark 4:18 says, now these are the ones, watch this, talking about how you receive the word. And I pray that you receive this word today, knowing, man, pastor, he's just trying to help me. He ain't trying to tell me what to do with my money. Pastor is just trying to, and I probably should listen to the brother, because before he even got here, he had it all figured out. And there's an anointing on his life. It's probably a good idea to listen to him. So it talks about this. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, watch this, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things enter, choke the word that pastor was trying to teach, and it becomes unfruitful. All of that in there is bad, but let me tell you the worst one, deceitfulness of riches. But the deceitfulness of riches, it promises you happiness, but only Jesus can give you happiness. So thank God for if you get some new shoes or, they give you a temporary emotion of happiness. But I'm talking about when the Bible talks about true happiness, in the Greek is that word makarios, and it's happiness on the inside. Riches promises what it can't give. Riches, if you get rich, you'll have security. If you get rich, you'll have identity. You only have those things in Jesus. Now, Jesus wants you to be abundantly supplied, which is another word for rich, but we need to make sure that we categorize it the right way, that it's my relationship with God that matters most, and if I do things God's way, he's going to bless me, and I'm going to live an amazing life. Because the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. All right? Let me just tell you a true story. When Lady LaConte and I were living paycheck to paycheck, back years ago, back in 1999, when I told you the story, we'd only have sometimes $70, $80 left for the week. Now, we paid our tithes, we paid our bills, we went grocery shopping, we went gas shopping. I mean, everything was filled. So till that next Friday, maybe $80, $90. You could actually make that last when you actually got everything that you need. And we go to Church's Chicken, you got it? And we get them $1.99 two-piece with the honey biscuits. Y'all know them, but people, me and Lady were just talking about, we were just as happy then as we are now. Because watch this, God blessed us, but money didn't change us. Does that make sense? So it's the order of God that you continue to be blessed and abundantly supplied, but it's not the order of God that you change. You got it? Don't let stuff change who you are. Always be who God called you to be. That beautiful person that you are on the inside, that loving person, that kind person. Don't let a person change you. Don't let a bad relationship change you. Don't let any money change you. And that's what happened. But you got to learn, I'm going to be the person that God has always called me to be. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Give me 3 minutes and we're going to be gone. Father, I thank you for your word. This is what I want you to do. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We've already did the appeals earlier. So this is what I really want you to do. You know, pastor only teaches this to help you. And I want you to say, Holy Spirit, I want you to talk to him. You don't have to say it out loud. But I just want you to say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Because I believe that as I teach, he's going to tell one of you one thing. He's going to tell you, and he's only telling you to help you and not to hurt you. And even when I'm teaching on this, let's say that you're not a giver. You're not consistent in tithing. He does not want you to feel condemned one bit. There may be a little bit of conviction. And another word for convict is convince. And he might just want to convince you, hey, if you do it my way, you'll get my results. So whether you're in this room or whether you're online, I want you to just say, God, what are you saying to me? Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for every person that's under the sound of my voice in this room or online or even those that will watch this later. And I just release my faith with theirs that their best days are ahead. I decree in the name of Jesus that you will give them the wisdom that they need, the favor that they need, and the increase that they need so that they can live an incredible life. We thank you for what you're doing in this ministry, and we declare every need of this ministry is met over and above. We thank you that there is an anointing of debt freedom and increase on this house, and we declare it's going to manifest in not many days. We thank you for what you're doing. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise all over the building?